This is Changing Your World with Creflo and Taffy Dollar, bringing you the Word of God with simplicity and understanding. Now listen to the Word of God and watch it change your life.
Not going to be too much of a chance for you to shop run, because I want to go from one scripture to the next scripture to the next scripture, and really stick with some notes and get some things into your understanding. Like I said, for a while, searching for and being satisfied with the explanation of what it means to believe with the heart. Let's go to Mark chapter 11, 23, and then Romans chapter 10. And we're going to look at this, and I want to start with a foundation, and from that foundation, work it up to show you what it means to believe with the heart. Boy, you picked a good Bible study to attend tonight. Praise God. Amen. All right. Now, let's look at Mark chapter 11, verse 23. And let's read verse 23 out loud together. Ready? Read. I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast in the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Now I want you to focus in on some things. He said that whosoever shall say unto a mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt where? In his heart. But shall believe where? In his heart, that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith, because he's not doubting in his heart, he's what? Believing in his heart. Romans chapter 10 and verse 10. He's not doubting in his heart, he's believing in his heart. And we got to figure out what it means to believe with the heart. Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10. And when you get to Romans 10, look at verse 10. Romans 10, verse 10. Let's read verse 10 out loud together. Ready? Read. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth. So notice here, for with the what? Heart man believeth unto righteousness. I believe with my what? For with the what? Heart man believes unto righteousness. So your believing is done with the what? Your believing is done with the what? With the heart. Now the word word heart used in these scriptures, it does not refer to the physical organ that pumps blood throughout our body to keep us alive. In fact, if we were believing with the physical heart, that would be believing with our body. And we couldn't believe with our physical heart any more than we could believe with our physical hand or our finger. But the word heart is used to convey a thought. And what's that thought? Notice how we use the word heart today. When we talk about the heart of a tree, we are talking about what the center or the very core of that tree. Or when we talk about the heart of a subject, we mean the most important part of that subject, the very center of it, the main part around it. And when God speaks of the man, when God speaks of man's heart, he's speaking about the main part of man, the very center of his being. And the very center of man, the very center of man's being, is his spirit. Man is a spirit. He doesn't have a spirit. He is a spirit. He possesses a soul, mind, will, and emotions, and he lives in the physical body. Say this out loud. I am a spirit being. Right now, you are a spirit being. You are a spirit. You are a spirit being. You possess a soul, mind, will, emotions, and you live in a physical body. Now go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, 23. So the word heart, even used in scripture, is referring to the center of man. And a man's heart is his spirit. A man's heart is his spirit. So for our purposes tonight, when you see this word heart, and from now on, refer to the spirit, because the heart of a man is his spirit. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. And when you get to chapter 5, look at verse 23. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 23. Let's read 23 out loud together. Ready? Read. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray, God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, the terms spirit of man and the heart of man are used interchangeably throughout the Bible. You'll notice that. And we know that man is a spirit because he is made in the image and the likeness of God. And Jesus said that God is a spirit. John chapter 4, verse 24. He's made in the image and the likeness of God. Man is a spirit. God said, let us make man in our image. He did that. He made man in his image. He is a spirit. Man is a spirit. He was made in his image. If you understand that, say amen. So it is not our physical bodies that are like God. The Bible says that God is not a man. So we got to remember there's an inward man and an outward man. Man is a spirit. He has a soul and he lives in a body. Now, the Apostle Paul said something in Romans chapter 2. Flip over there for a moment. And as I said, we're going to go from scripture to scripture. I could just kind of tell you what it is, but you need to see all of this so that you'll never be robbed of it again. Romans chapter 2 and verse 28. If you're there, say amen. Listen to this now, verse 28. For he is not a Jew which is one outwardly, neither is that circumcision which is outward in the flesh. But he is a Jew which is one inwardly, and circumcision is that of the heart in the spirit and not in the letter, whose praise is not of men but of God. Well, now you see clearly what he's talking about. He said there is an outward man. And he says, and there is an inward man. He says, I'm not talking about a Jewish man that is a Jew outwardly. And neither, he says, am I referring to the circumcision of the flesh. But he says he is a Jew inwardly, and this inward circumcision is the cutting of the heart or the spirit. And so, again, you see, circumcision is that of the heart in the spirit. Circumcision, underline that phrase, is that of the heart in the spirit. That of the heart in the spirit. Now, if you flip over to St. John chapter 3, I'm having to drive this point home. Nicodemus, speaking to Nicodemus, Jesus said something to him in St. John chapter 3. And look what he said to him in verse 7. He said, marvel not, I say unto you, you must be born again. Now, Nicodemus, being human, could think only in the natural. Therefore, he asked, how can I be, in verse 4, if you back up there, he asked this question, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? I mean, so Nicodemus is human. Jesus has said you must be born again. Nicodemus says, how can a man be born when he's old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb? Jesus answered, that which is born of the flesh. In verse 6, he said, that which is born of the flesh is what? Flesh. And that which is born of the spirit is what? Spirit. So the new birth is a rebirth of the human spirit. The new birth is a rebirth of the human spirit. So in St. John chapter 4, since we're right there, look at verse 24. In John's gospel, we also read where Jesus told the woman at the well in Samaria. St. John 4, verse 24. God is a what? spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in and in. So we cannot contact God with our body, and we cannot contact God with our mind. We can contact God with our what? Is everybody following me? You can't contact him with your body. You can't contact him with your mind, but you can contact him with your spirit. Now go to 1 Corinthians 14:14. This is going to be showing up Bible study tonight. Keep up. Everybody understand so far? All right. 1 Corinthians 14:14. Now here's what I want you to see here in verse 14. He said, for if I pray in an unknown tongue, what's praying? My spirit prayeth. But my understanding is what? Unfruitful. In other words, I'm praying in tongues, but my understanding of what I'm praying in tongues doesn't get it. I don't understand what I'm praying in tongues. He said, my spirit's doing the praying, but my mind can't comprehend it. So the spirit is not the mind. You see that? The spirit is not the mind. Some people mistakenly think that the mind is the spirit. However, this verse indicates we know that when we speak in tongues, this does not come from our mind or our own human thinking, but from our spirit, from our innermost being, from the Holy Spirit within our spirit. Paul went on to say in verse 15, what is it then? I pray with the spirit and I pray with the understanding also. In other words, Paul is saying that his spirit is the real Paul. That his spirit is the real. I'm looking at the house you live in. There are a bunch of houses that have come to take a seat here tonight. I'm looking at the house you live in. The real you lives in that house. This is not the real Creflo Dollar. Oh, wait till you see him. I look similar to this. I look similar to this, but this is the house that I live in. Let's talk for a moment, because all these scriptures have been going towards something. Let's talk about the inward man. The inward man. 2 Corinthians 4:16. The inward man. Paul says something here. In verse 16, if you're there, say amen. Paul says something here in verse 16. He says, for which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet our inward man is renewed day by day. Do you see the distinction there? There's an outward man referring to your what? Your physical body. But then there's the inward man, which is the what? The spirit. And the spirit has a soul. The outward man, your physical body. The inward man, your spirit. And your spirit has a soul. Oh, boy. That's why when you die, your spirit and soul will go to heaven. And you'll know one another when you get to heaven. Because your spirit has the soul. The soul's not going to stay with the body because the body doesn't have the soul. Your spirit has a mind, a will, and emotion. Your body has a brain. But without the soul, the brain can't do nothing because it's the physical house of the soul, like your physical body is the house of your spirit, but your spirit has the soul. Your body has a brain. Is everybody with me now? So if the body were the real man, Paul would have to say, well, let me show you something here. Let's go to, this is a great illustration. Go to 1 Corinthians 9. 1 Corinthians 9. Now, I have to stick with the word in everything I say tonight because of what I'm going to say. And when you get this, the devil is just going to hate it that you get it. So I'm depending on you. I'm giving you all the scriptures to re-preach this to everybody you can possibly preach it to. Because our problem in the body of Christ is believing. And if we can fix the believing problem, then things can start happening in our life. 1 Corinthians 9:27. you're there, say amen. Here's what Paul said. Paul said, but I keep under my body and I bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. Now look at that first part of that. Look what he said, the first part. But I keep under my body and I bring it, referring to my body, into subjection. Now, if the body were the real man, Paul would have said like this, I keep myself under, I bring myself into subjection. If the body was the real man. But he refers to his body as it. He's talking to his body about his body as it. And I is the man on the inside, the inward man who has been reborn. We do something with our body. We bring it into subjection. The man we look at is not the real man. It's just the house that the real man lives in. When Paul said, I, he was talking about the inward man. I bring my body, he's talking about the outward man, and I cause it, referring to the body, talking about the outward man, but the real Paul was the I Paul, not the body Paul. How many of you know we're talking about anatomy tonight, amen? So we can now more easily understand Paul's writing in Romans chapter 12. Look at what he says as a result of what I just showed you. Look at Romans chapter 12, and now you're going to understand why Paul is now writing like he writes. Can't you see people who are not getting in the Word and getting these explanations trying to read the Bible and understand it if they don't understand? That's how the Bible talks about how can you hear without a preacher? All right, now watch this. Who been sent? All right, now Romans 12, 1 and 2. Now check this out. Verse 1. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God, right? So in this epistle, Paul was not writing to unbelievers. Here's something you need to understand. He was writing to Christians. He addresses something in the very first part of this book, Romans chapter 1, 7. He talks about to all that be in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints. So it's clear that he's writing this letter to Christian people. But although he was writing to men and women who had been born again, he said they needed to do something with their bodies and with their minds. He's talking to them, born again people. He says, you need to do something with your bodies and you need to do something with your minds. Now, the new birth is not a rebirth of the human body, but it's a rebirth of what? The human spirit. And the infilling of the Holy Spirit is not a physical experience, but it's a what? Spiritual experience. So Paul said we have to present our bodies to God, a living sacrifice. We have to get our minds renewed with the Word of God. Now notice that this is something that we do, not God. God gives eternal life. He offers His Spirit, but God doesn't do anything with our bodies. If anything is done with them, we have to do it. The Word says that you present your body unto God, nobody else can do it for you. The Word says that you ought to be transformed by the renewing of your minds. Our minds are renewed through the Word of God. Nobody's going to do that but you. We know that the man is a spirit made in the image and the likeness of God, and some people believe that man is just an animal. If that were true, it would be just as right to kill a man and eat him like you would kill a cow and eat him. If that were the truth, if you were really an animal, it would be fine for me to come say, food for the month. Man has a physical body that he's living in, but he is not an animal. He is more than just mind and body. He is spirit, soul, and body. He is a spirit, he has a soul, he lives in the body. Animals have a soul and a body. They are not spirits. There is nothing in animals that is like God. God took something of himself and he put it into man. He took a piece, you've noticed from past studies, Zoe, he took a piece of himself and he put it into man. He made the body of man out of the dust of the earth, but he breathed into man's nostrils the breath of life. Another way that this is translated is the spirit. The word breath comes from a word, the Hebrew word, which means breath or spirit. So God put a piece of himself in that physical body. The Holy Spirit shows up, translated of this word breath as well, many times throughout the scripture. Now, when he did this, man became a living soul. Put a piece of himself into man, man became a living soul. He wasn't alive until then. He became a living soul. He became conscious of himself because the body was dead without the spirit. The soul possesses intellectual and emotional qualities, and animals have souls. But when their bodies die, they die. All dogs don't go to heaven. Now, there will be dogs there because God is for your enjoyment. You might have a dog named, you know, Peaches. Peaches will be there, but that ain't going to be the same Peaches that... You understand what I'm saying? You'll have dogs and you'll have things that give you great pleasure in heaven, but dogs don't have a spirit. I don't care how much you love them. I don't care how many times days they've been sleeping with you. They don't have no spirit. When they die, they're dead. They're fertilizer. You understand? So don't send me no notes about I just don't agree. That's what the Bible says. Okay, for you to try to equate a dog with a human, you might as well equate a dog with God, and God did not put his spirit in an animal. Hallelujah. Human souls, our intellectual and emotional qualities, are not based upon the physical, but upon the spirit. And when our body is dead, our soul still exists because our spirit possesses our souls. Let me show you some very easy illustrations in Luke chapter 16. You've seen this before. Oh, yes, we're going to get there. If I can stay behind the blue book board tonight, we're going to get there. Luke 16, 19. Now, I'm going to read this down to verse 25, and then we're going to dissect it a little bit and then get more towards the believing with the heart. Luke 16, 19. There was a certain man, which was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. There was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate full of sores, desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. It came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosoms. Underline that. The rich man also died and was buried, and in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosoms. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus that he may dip his tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in these flames. But Abraham said, son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things, but now he's comforted and thou art tormented. Now, in this passage of scripture, we have a very clear illustration of man's three parts, his spirit, his soul, and his body. Now, I want you to notice verse 22. It says, the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosoms. Now, think with me for a moment now. Who was carried away? The beggar. Is that what it said? Huh? Who was carried away? The beggar was carried away, not his body. His body was buried. Who was carried away? The inward man, the beggar, the real beggar, not the body. See, we got to change how we read the Bible. The body wasn't carried away by the angels. The beggar, spirit and soul, was carried away. Not his body, but he. His spirit is the real person. His body was put in the grave, but he was in Abraham's bosoms. Praise God. Praise God. The rich man also died. His body was put in the grave, but in hell, he, are y'all following me now? His body was buried, but in hell. See, notice, his body was in one place, and he was in another place. The real you. See, when you die, your house is going to stay on the earth, but the real you will either be transported. Where will you be? You go to the graveyard talking to your dad ain't there. Oh, hallelujah. Praise God. His body was in the grave. He lifted his eyes up. Now, although Abraham's body had been in the grave, you see, he was here now, right? Although Abraham's body had been in the grave, but in hell, he lifted up his eyes. Look at that. Although Abraham's body had been in the grave many years, the rich man saw him. The rich man, Bible says, lifted his eyes up, seeing Abraham. He saw him. He recognized that it was Abraham. Somebody asked me one time, will we know one another when we get in heaven? Well, will you know one another when you get to Texas? He looked and he saw him. He also recognized Lazarus. So that's telling me that you recognize me in this physical body, that when I get out of my physical body and you see the real me, you're going to recognize the real me based on what you have been accustomed to seeing. I'm going to know you. We going to know one another. I can't talk about him too much because I get so excited. Therefore, in the spirit realm, man looks very similar to what he does in this life. Now, notice, the rich man cried out to Abraham, have mercy on me. Send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water, cool my tongue, for I'm tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, son, watch what he said. Son, watch this next word. Son, what do you say? Remember. There's the soul. There's the soul. Remember. You see all three parts here. Man is a spirit. He has a soul. We see in scripture that his soul is still intact. He can still remember. He has emotion. He was tormented. He was concerned about his five brethren in verse 27 and 28. Send somebody back so they can minister to his family. He was concerned about them. Oh, my goodness. I wonder how many people have died and were concerned about somebody in the family. Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness. God is a spirit. God is a spirit. Say that. All right, watch this. He became a man. For Jesus was God manifested in the flesh, living in a human body. He took on a physical body, an earth suit. And when he did, he was no less God than he was before. People play all these little games with, that was Jesus, that was God. You need to understand what happened. God put on an earth suit. The earth suit made him a man. But the suit didn't make him any less God. He was God dressed up in a suit. Ah, Jesus. Are you following me? We know that man leaves his physical body at death. And when he does, he is no less man than he was when he had his physical body, as proved by the story of the rich man and Lazarus. So reverse that around again. I'm going to leave my physical body, but when I leave, I'm not going to be any less the man I was when I was here. In other words, you just send me without this outfit on. So death is a matter of changing clothes. Y'all don't understand what I'm saying. We cannot know God through our human knowledge, through our mind. God is only revealed to man through, God is only revealed to man through his spirit. It is the spirit of man that contacts God, for God is a spirit. That's what's so wrong with our churches. Hold on, Dolly, just stick with the subject for a minute. Does everybody understand that? Now, I want to put this memory scripture in your head, because here's where we're going. For with the heart, or with the spirit of man, we believe unto righteousness. With the spirit of a man, we believe. And all things are possible to them that believe. Now, how many of you know that spiritual things are just as real as material things? You hesitated. Let me make a statement. Spiritual things are not only just as real as material things, they're more real than material things, because all material things came out of spiritual things. Spiritual things are the parent things of all physical material things. You understand that? God is just as real as if he had a physical body, although he doesn't, he is a spirit. As real as a physical body is, he is just as real without a spiritual physical body, because he is a spirit. Glory be to God. Jesus has a physical body now. Jesus has here's what the scripture says. This is what Jesus has right now. Flesh and bone body. Flesh and bone body, but not flesh and blood body. Because after his resurrection, he appeared to disciples. They thought it was a spirit. They thought it was a ghost. But Jesus said, handle me. This is in Luke chapter 24, 39. Luke 24, 39. Jesus said, handle me, for a spirit hath not flesh and bone as you see me have. So this is the resurrected body. Jesus said, a spirit doesn't have flesh and bone as you see me have. On another occasion, while Peter and some of the other disciples were fishing, they saw Jesus on the shore. He called them, and they went to him, and they ate fish he was cooking on an open fire. He has a physical body now. He has a resurrected flesh and bone body. And Jesus, who is now in heaven with his physical body, is now more real than the Holy Spirit or God the Father are real. Oh, Lordy. So you have God, who is the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, and you have Jesus, who is a spirit being, but he has a flesh and bone body that's in heaven. Just to be the firstborn of many flesh and bone body. Because we're going to be raised from the dead, immortal. We'll be changed in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye. So if you were to die right now, here's what it looks like. You put on your spiritual body, the one that's not made with hand. You inhabit heaven. But on the day of the great resurrection, your physical body is going to be changed in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, no blood. And your spirit will come with that resurrected body, and you will now be amongst many brethren like Jesus, who was able to have the best of both worlds. He had a spirit and a resurrected body that could travel a few hours' journey from earth to heaven and back again, walking through a physical door, sit down and eat some fish and honeycomb, and then go back to heaven. Don't tell me they're not going to have no apple pie in heaven. Shut your mouth. Don't tell me that. Glory to God. Let me get back to the subject. Glory be to God. Oh, hallelujah. We don't have anything to be sad about. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Whether alive or dead, we win. Lordy Jesus. Oh, praise God. Oh, praise God. Bless his holy name. Praise God. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. Praise the Lord. Praise God. Praise his mighty name. Praise God. Hallelujah. Praise him for his wondrous works, and praise him for his mighty wisdom. And praise God. Hallelujah. Wow. Woo. Amen. He has a physical body now. Jesus, our champion. A resurrected flesh and bone body. And Jesus, who is now in heaven with his physical body, is now more real. Listen to that now. Than the Holy Spirit or God, the Father, are real. Now notice, we do not say God. We do not say God is spirit, but rather that God is a spirit. Some say you're getting real picky. No, we don't say God's spirit. No, he is a spirit. Say God is a spirit. Some people think that God is spirit, meaning some sort of an impersonal influence. Even though we say that God is a spirit, that doesn't mean he doesn't have a shape or a form in the spiritual realm. You saw what men look like. They look similar to their physical bodies. He does. God has a shape and a form. Let's look at angels for a moment. Angels are spirits, yet angels have a form, or they have a spiritual body. They have a form, they have a spiritual body. This I know, I've seen. I saw two of them. And they look like a physical body. Now, on one occasion, when the Israelites were surrounded by the Syrian army, this can be found in 2 Kings chapter 6, verse 16 and 17. They were surrounded by the Syrian armies. The servants of the prophet Elijah were filled with fear as he saw the enemies of hosts of horses and chariots which compassed the city. And Elijah merely answered in 2 Kings. He said, "Fear not, for they that be with us are more than they that be with them." And Elijah prayed and said, "Lord, open his eyes that he may see." And the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw. And behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire round about. Now, sometimes and it's up to God, as God wills, angels can take on a form in the material realm where they can be seen. The scripture says, be careful when you entertain strangers, because you're going to entertain angels and do it unaware. There, right now, and until Jesus comes, has been an increase of manifestation of angelic activity. And some of you probably have encountered angels and didn't even know it. In Exodus 33, we read that God talked to Moses face to face. Verse 11, Exodus 33, 11. And Moses didn't see God's face. He wanted to, but he didn't. Verse 20 said, "Thou cannot see my face." And in Exodus 33, God told him, "Nope, you can't. Nobody can see my face and live." So then God said to Moses, this is verse 22 and 23, "And it shall come to pass, while my glory passes by, that I'll put thee in a cleft of a rock. I'll cover thee with my hands while I pass by, and I will take away my hand, and thou shalt see my back parts. My face you cannot see." Now, even though God is a spirit, we know that he has a face. He said, "You can't see my face." So we know he got a face. We know he has hands, a form of some kind. He is no less real because he is a spirit than he would be if he had a physical body. Spiritual things are just as real as material things. The Bible says, I don't recall where this scripture is. I know it's in there because I read it, that the span of God's hand is measured as the span of a man. And I thought that was pretty interesting to locate that in scripture. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. What does this have to do with believing? Come on, keep going. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, I want to look at verse 1 first and then move down to verse 6. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 1, "For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God." Now, this is interesting. Watch this now. So if you lose your earthly house, you have a building of God. Now, the first thing you see here is that there's an earthly house and then there's a spiritual house, a building of God. Now listen to this, "For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, a house not made with physical hands, but it's eternal in the heavens." So now here's what I want you to understand. There is a physical body house, but then in between you leaving this body and this body being renovated, there is a house that's not made with hands. Glory. Verse 6, "Therefore, we are always confident knowing that while we are at home in the body," in this physical body, "while we are here, we are absent from the Lord." So just know that. While you're here, you're absent from the Lord. But watch this. Glory to God. "For we walk by faith and not by sight. We are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord." Notice what he said. I have confidence that when I'm absent from this body, I'm going to be present with the Lord. I'm not going around wondering, "Oh, Lord, what's going to happen when I die?" Here's what's going to happen. I'm confident right now that while I'm in this body, I'm absent from the Lord. I am as confident that when I'm out of this body, I'm with the Lord. Amen? When our body is put in the grave, we still have a building with God that is not made with hand, and we shall live eternally in the heavens. Now, who's going to be absent from the body? We are. Listen to what I just said. Who's going to be absent from the body? We are. The real man. We, the real man, will be absent from the body. Who's going to be absent from the body? The inward man is going to be absent from the body. I like 1 Peter chapter 3, 4. Flip over there. 1 Peter 3, 4. 1 Peter 3, 4 reads like this. I was going to be on my plane out of the country, but I had to move it around. I had to talk to y'all tonight. Somebody going to need to believe the right way this week. Some stuff got to happen. Some stuff got to happen. And you got to know how to get it to happen. Amen. All right, look at 1 Peter 3, 4. Read verse 4 out loud together. Ready? Read. But let it be the hidden man of the heart, not corrupt, even the ornament of a meek and a quiet spirit, which is in sight of God a great price. Notice the first part of this. He calls our spirit the what? The hidden man of the heart. The hidden man. Here we see the word heart again, right? The inward man, our spirit is called the hidden man. He is a man of the heart. He is the man of the spirit. He is hidden to the physical or the natural man. Now, in Romans 7:22, the spirit is called, flip over there, I wanted to show you everything tonight. Romans 7:22. Verse 22, let's read it out loud together. Ready to read. For I delight in the law of God after the what? So 7:22, the spirit is called what? Inward man. First Peter is called the what? Hidden man. Here it's called the what? Inward man. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man. So we see this inward man and the hidden man. It gives us God's definition of the human spirit. The hidden man. The inward man, the real man, is spirit. He has a body and he has a soul. But the real man is a spirit. With his spirit, he contacts the spiritual realm. With his soul, he contacts the intellectual realm. With his body, he contacts the physical realm. Look at that again now. With his spirit, he contacts the spiritual realm. With his soul, he contacts the intellectual realm. And with his body, he contacts the physical realm. You have to have a body to contact physical things. You have to have the soul to contact intellectual things. But you have to have a spirit to contact God. That's why you can't contact him with your emotions. That's why you can't contact him with all your physical stuff. You got to know how to contact him with your spirit. We cannot contact God with our mind. Neither can we contact God with our body. We contact God with our, say it with me, spirit. All right, now, the Word of God is the key to heart faith. The Word of God. Every Christian that put the Word down, every Christian that won't read the Word, every Christian don't want to have nothing with the Word, it's the key. That's why all the planet is coming against the Word of God. And that's why I'm preaching it as with my hair on fire. When we hear the Word of God preach, we hear it with our natural mind. Now, before we were Christians, the Holy Spirit, through the Word of God, spoke to our heart, or it spoke to our spirit. We read something in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, 14. Go there. I need you to see that. Because I'm closing in on this thing now. 1 Corinthians 2:14. Look at this now. Verse 14. I just want to bring this part out. If you're there, say amen. The natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit, of God. One translation says that. Now, the natural man or the natural mind understandeth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, the scripture says, neither can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. So a world that's trying to understand the Bible is foolishness. They don't understand it. They say it contradicts itself, but it was not written for natural interpretation. And the problem with the church is when you got a preacher who ain't saved trying to intellectually deal with the word.
I can't believe I just said that, but I did, didn't I?
The natural man or the natural mind understandeth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. They cannot know them. They can't know them because they're spiritually discerned. We don't understand the Bible with our mind. It is spiritually understood. We understand it with our spirit. We understand the Bible with our heart. That's the reason we may read certain passages of scriptures dozens of times, and it just doesn't, we don't even get to understand the true meaning of it. And then one day we suddenly see what God is showing us through his word. It's at that moment that we understand it with our heart. We have to get the revelation of God's word in our heart. That's why we must depend upon the Spirit of God to open and to unveil the word to us. Oh, God, if you knew how precious this church was, you'd never miss a service. Therefore, to believe with the heart means to believe with the spirit. How does our spirit get faith that our intellect cannot obtain? The answer is through the word. How do we get faith that our intellect can't get? Through the word. Jesus said something, Matthew 4:4. Man shall not live by bread alone, but man is going to be living by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. He was speaking of spiritual food. He used a natural term to convey a spiritual thought. Our spirit becomes filled with assurance. Our spirit becomes filled with confidence as we meditate on the word. And then the word is spirit and faith food. Say that. Say the word is spirit and faith food. The word of God is food that makes our spirit strong. And there's some people that don't eat but once a month. To believe with the heart means to believe apart from what our physical body may tell us or what our physical senses may indicate. This is because the physical man believes what it sees. The physical man believes what it sees with his eyes. It believes what it hears. It believes what the physical ears are telling. It believes what it feels through its physical senses. But the spirit or the heart believes in the word regardless of seeing, hearing, or feeling. When I believe with my heart, what I am doing is, this is how I know I'm believing with my heart. This is how I know I'm believing with my spirit. I have confidence and assurance about the word, even though my feelings and my physical things are telling me other things. If you're leaning towards your physical things, then you're not believing with your heart.
Believing what the heart says, I believe what this says and not what that feels. Believing what the heart says, I believe what this says and not what this sees. Believing what the heart says, I believe what this says and not what this hears. Because if you start believing what this hears, what this sees, and what this feels, you are no longer believing with the spirit. You are now trying to govern your belief out of your physical body. And you're denying your spirit of doing what it does. Proverbs 3, verse 5 through 7. Turn there. It believes the word regardless of all other stuff. I believe my heart. The Bible says, for with the heart man believeth. Let me show you something. With the heart man believeth unto righteousness. With the spirit man believes unto righteousness. You know what he just said? My spirit believes that I'm righteous. I don't feel like that. But I believe in my heart that I'm righteous and not believe what I feel, not believe what I see, not believe what I hear, not believe my past. I believe with my heart that I'm righteous. I have no other way to believe that I'm righteous when my physical body has so much experience with unrighteousness. So I have to believe with my heart that I'm righteous and not believe what I see and what I hear and what I feel. Somebody shout, I'm the righteousness of God. What are you doing? You're believing with your heart. I'm not believing with my past, and I'm not believing with what I can touch and what I feel. I'm not believing with what has been done, and I believe with my heart. I believe with my spirit. And you cannot believe with your spirit, you cannot believe with your heart if the object of your belief doesn't come from the word. Doctor says you have cancer. You believe that, then you're not believing with your heart. Lack says you're going to be evicted. If you believe that, then you're not believing with your heart. Situation says that you're broke. If you believe that, then you're not believing with your heart. And when you don't believe with your heart, you can't contact God. And so all of the provisions that God has and all of the things available and made available to us that God has, you cannot contact it without believing with your heart. And the scripture says that all things are possible to him that believes, but the implication is with your heart. The Bible says you can say unto a mountain, be thou removed, having no doubt in your heart. You know what doubt in your heart is? It is you not believing the word. It is you believing with the eyes, with the ears, and with the feelings. But if you believe in your heart, you'll have what you say because you're believing right. And when you're believing right, when your believing is right, your thinking's gonna be right. And when your thinking is right, your confession is gonna be right. You in Proverbs yet? Proverbs 3, 5, and 7. Trust in the Lord with all. Okay. Oh, you see this now? Trust in the Lord with all of your, and the heart of a man is what? So trust in the Lord with your spirit and lean not unto your own understanding. He just told you. The trust has got to be with your spirit and not with your understanding. And the Bible, Jesus said in John 4, 24, the words that I speak unto you, they are spirit. And spiritual things go with spiritual things. So your heart faith has got to go with spiritual things. Your heart faith can't go with physical things that can be perceived in the natural realm. It's got to be, I'm not moved by what I see. I trust God with my spirit based on spiritual things. Good Lord. You will never contact God with religion. You will only contact God with belief in the word, which is spiritual. And if you throw this word away, you have just thrown away
the only by which you can contact God and every provision that God has made available to you in spiritual things. You have been blessed with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places, in Christ the Anointed One. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he'll direct thy path. Don't be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. Now, most people practice verse 5. They practice it, all right? They practice it in reverse. They trust with all their understanding, and they lean not to their own spirit. Isn't that the truth? James 1, verse 19, the portion of that scripture says, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. This is another verse we're inclined to practice in the reverse. We are swift to speak, swift to wrath, and we're slow to hear. Then in verse 7, in the above passage scripture, he says, be not wise in thy own eyes. In other words, don't be wise with natural human knowledge, which would cause you to act independently of the word of God. And that's what I'm having problems with, is that you got folks trying to mix natural knowledge with the word of God. He says, don't be wise with natural human knowledge. Because then you factor God out of the system. Ooh, glory. In the New Testament, we find the counterpart of this scripture. 2 Corinthians 4 and 5, he says, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations or reasonings, and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Now that makes so much sense, doesn't it? When you operate in this heart kind of faith, the result is going to be peace. Say peace.
Peace.
So if we want to walk by faith, the word must be the uppermost to everything else. That's called honor. And as we trust God with all of our heart, our quietness, a quietness and a peace will come to our spirit. Hebrews 4, 3, for we which have believed do enter into rest. Have you ever understood that scripture? Look at that. The guy that believes right and according to his spirit and based on the word of God enters into his rest. No wonder people have not been able to enter their rest. You can't enter in rest without believing right. How can you say I believe and you're still worried? Your belief's not based on spiritual things. Philippians 4, 7, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your heart and your minds through Christ Jesus. There it is again. But it's got to pass what you understand in the physical world, and it's got to get to what the word says. Isaiah 26, 3. Thou will keep him in perfect peace. Who will he keep in perfect peace? Whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusts in thee. He's believing with his heart. God's word says, but my God shall supply all of your needs according to his riches in glory. We know in our spirits that everything we need will be supplied. We know in our spirits, we believe in our heart that word. So we know in our heart that everything's going to be supplied. We don't believe the lack. Y'all better listen to me. There's some things getting ready to change in this country. You better know how to believe with your heart. We don't worry. We don't worry. When you believe, you have your supply, you don't worry. You don't have anxiety. If we are worrying, we are not believing. Right. Our heart takes courage as we read the word.
As we meditate in this word, our assurance becomes deeper. The assurance in our spirit is independent of human reasoning or human knowledge.
It's almost like everybody giving, the intellectuals are coming to you and they're explaining intellectually about all this stuff that's happening. And you come up and say, "All I know. I don't know none of that. I don't know Dow Jones, them. I don't know Lehman brother. I ain't even know Lehman had a brother. I don't know none of them. But what I know is that my God has supplied my need. That's what I believe. That's what I go to sleep on. That's why I don't worry, because I'm believing with my heart. That's what I know." This assurance in our spirit is independent from that human reason of human knowledge. It may even contradict human reasoning or physical evidence, but to believe God with our heart means to believe apart from our body. To believe Him with our heart means we believe apart from our body. So if you're believing with your body and not with your heart, that's why it's not working. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The reason why many people are defeated is because they accept defeat. But God's word says, "You are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world." And the Holy Spirit rises up in us, and we know we cannot be conquered. We know because we believe. Y'all got this? Now, you know when you're not believing with your heart. And when you're not believing with your heart, you are not contacting God or those resources or the things available to you in the kingdom of God. Now, I think I need to teach this like two more times. Okay? Yeah. Faith cometh by?
Hearing.
And hearing by? And if you can get this on the inside of you, and you know what it means to believe with the heart, who can defeat you? That's why I say be careful when you think you're smart, but you're dumb. Because great intellect in the physical could be great ignorance in the spiritual. So you're going to have to choose what kind of intellect you want. I want the intellect that doesn't fail. I want my mind to be influenced by belief in my heart. Father, we thank you tonight. Oh, praise God. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for showing us. Oh. Thank you for understanding. And with what we've come to understand this night, Lord, may all the cares and the fears and the anxieties and the worries roll away. Now we know how to enter into the rest that will bring results. Thank you, Jesus. Bless us. You have. And we receive ourselves blessed.